We are up to today is the 16th of January 2019. What's it called? Where are we here? Yud Shvat, Tavshin Ayin Tes. Is that one of the Chabad days? Yud Shvat? Yeah. What's today?
It's your side of the Friedrich Rebbe.
The Friedrich Rebbe is your side today, okay?
The inauguration of the present Rebbe.
I mean, 1 year later, it was it was the your side. Okay. If you want to hear a shiur about the Friedrich Rebbe, I think the rabbi in Beth HaMedrash gave one last summer. It's on Wayu Torah, if you're interested. Okay. So, here we go. So Rishonim Day. So there is a potpourri of stuff over the course of this parak, and part of the challenge is, again, this is the narrative law switchback. All of a sudden, we have this parak of law. It's going to be the same thing in Parshas Korach. It's going to be two chapters of story and then one chapter of halachos. So what do these halachos have to do? Why are they stuck right here following the story of the Meraglim? And we mentioned already from Rashi. Rashi gives his pshat, but the Sforno seems to give a very different pshat to each of these. So what does Rashi say? Rashi said, "Bisr lehem sheichatzu laaretz ki tavo, that when you come." Meaning, you might be miyayish, you might be giving up on the idea that there is a future for you to go actually into the Eretz Yisrael, but don't worry, it's going to come. And the proof that it's going to come is that I'm already making preparations, that we're hereby giving you mitzvahs that are then going to be applicable. I remember once being in Orish HaKolel, and somebody had mentioned that one of their rabbis had told them, this is a person who's a little, getting not so much older, but he'd been dating for a few years and hadn't met anybody yet, so he said that one of his rebbeim recommended to him that he buy his wedding shirt. It's sort of a preparation, as a simon, right? I'm buying something for the preparation. So one of the other guys there, a comment, and maybe I should buy my wedding shirt. So he looked at him and said, but you're a chassan, you're already engaged. He said, even worse, so should I buy the shirt for my wedding? So anyways, that's the pshat here in the beginning with according to Rashi. The Ramban seems to, around the Orach Chaim seem to be going along the same lines. So he actually quotes Rashi. He says, "V'nitziva b'nechsachim," and then he gets into the specific mitzvah. What is the first mitzvah that is being mentioned? The first mitzvah, the first halacha being learned out here, is the idea of nesachim, the idea that there be wine libations on the Mizbeach that accompany the various korbanos. So the Ramban says, yeah, v'neitziva b'nesachim ba'aretz, ba'aso sam olos nesachim. That was in Eretz Yisrael, there was a special halacha of nesachim that got added then. That with all korbanos, even private korbanos, there's going to be nesachim. It says, ki b'midbar, in the desert, lo nischayv b'nesachim, levad mitamid. Because in the midbar, they only offered nesachim when it came to the korban tamid, the daily offering. And he brings Pesukim to prove it. So, and then he adds in that it's coming to you that lo nischayv b'nesachim el mevi'im la'aretz ve'elech, mehem sh'amar sh'lo nischayv ha'yachid b'nesachim el mevi'isam la'aretz ve'aretz. And there's a question about what got added on, the korban tzibur having the sachim, or the korban yachid having the tzibur. Either way, there's this addition that's going to take place. Why? Why specifically is the sachim being added or not? So the Ramban doesn't go there. The Ramban doesn't mention that. But okay. So that's his example of the mitzvah, or the first example of the mitzvahs that are then being added with regards to going into the land. Now, the Orach Chaim...
We have 15.
Chapter 15, yes.
We didn't do the Rashi.
I disagree. We did it on Friday.
Yes.
We have already done Chumash and Rashi day.
You did Chumash and Rashi on 15?
Yes, we did. We went all the way through from beginning to end. Maybe you weren't here, and that's how we were able to get from beginning to end. So what else do we get? So the Orach Chaim then also comments on this. Let's say Shara Hashem midva libam b'gzeres tiltul b'midvar b'im shana. That he saw that they were getting depressed, that they were going to be in the desert for 40 years. So muflagim mibias haaretz v'lazes sad libam b'mitzvos hatulis baaretz. So therefore, he gave them some of the mitzvos reliant on the land. V'dikdik lomar sharni nosin lachem hagam shador hahu pigrehem yiblu b'midvar. That he's giving them to you, meaning, Okay, so he's picking up here on the idea that it should say Asher Nino Sein Lachem, but it says Lahem. I think that was the... Oh, no, sorry, at the end of that pasuk is Asher Nino Sein Lachem, to you. Right? Hagam Shedduar Hupigrechem Yichu Minran. Now, that generation, it's true, is going to die in the Midbar. So what do you mean? The land that I'm going to give to you. But the you doesn't exist. The you is going to die in the Midbar. So he's saying, well, kol ama yotzi mitzrayim ben esrim, ba'lomar kol maisa banim yachis gam la'avos, ki es v'nehem hikim tachtav. So it's to demonstrate that children take over for their parents, and children are, will get the merits of the parents will live on through the children. So therefore, the Orach Chaim is saying, this is what the consolation is. That yes, it's true, you might die in the desert, but don't worry, you will go into the land of Israel. What do you mean, me? I'm not. We're going to die in the Midbar. No, but your children will. And that's built upon you. So therefore, it'll be as if you're going into the Midbar and into the entire Israel. And the Orach Chaim continues on and adds on, Odnir Lomar, and another idea is, Ki Omero Sein Lachem, it says Lachem to you, based on the following idea. Was the Gemara tells us in Masecha Sanhedrin on Daf Tzadi. Daf Tzadi already is which parak of Sanhedrin? The last parak of Sanhedrin, parak Chelek. So Chelek is all about Mashiach and about the Olam Haba and who's an Apikori, what's belief in Hashem, etc. A lot of stories in Tanakh. So he says, Minayin Letchias Hamesim in HaTorah. The Gemara asks, how do we see, where do we see a hint of the idea of the revival of the dead in the Torah? Dechsiv Asher Nishba Hashem Lavu Seichem Laseis Lahem. Because the pasuk tells us Hashem made we're going to Eretz Yisrael, which Hashem promised to your forefathers to give to them. What do you mean to them? Right? Lachem lo nemar elam, not to you, but to them. Right? It really is the Hashem made a promise to your forefathers to give to you. What does it mean to give to them? So ad kan kamokin heftiach sheyakum b'tchias hamesim b'yeshuas ad masam. That therefore it's a hint to the tchias hamesim that they will inherit the land. So two possibilities the Orach Chaim is suggesting. Number one is, this is you're going to get the land of Israel through your children, and perhaps even deeper is you're going to get to the land of Israel through Tchias HaMesim, through the revival of the dead. But those are the two possibilities suggested by the Orach Chaim.
When does this take place? Right now, we've left Egypt, right? And we're a year in.
The Meraglim happened over a year in.
There were no children born during that.
There may have been. Huh? There may have been. What do you mean?
Could be them.
No,
well, there are people below the age of 20 already. Anyways, I mean, anybody below the age of 20. Now, we did point out in these, this is in the last parak, that the Tikkun is probably, if the people are 20, are probably talking about 20 from the time of the Cheta Egel, actually. Because otherwise the math doesn't work out. Otherwise you're going to be 1 year short. So I believe the Ramban or somebody pointed out in the previous parak. But yeah, there are people, and there's women, and there's other people. But to you in general, I mean, you got to figure out what the pshat in the pasuk is. That's what
people will be going into.
Yeah, there will be people amongst them. But right. So you could skirt the issue by saying, oh well, there are those that are going, but it doesn't solve the problem. What are these mitzvahs doing here? So that the Orach Chaim is helpful in explaining that what it's doing here in order to console the people, and these psukim demonstrate how the people, even though they're going to die in the desert, are still going to be impacted, or have a portion of those going to the land of Israel. Now the Sforno consistently through the Perek seems to take a somewhat different tact in understanding the different mitzvahs. So he explains how each mitzvah that's going to be pointed out here is relevant. Meaning, if you're going to say, oh, well, all these are mitzvahs to Lulu Sparitz, this is going to be the land of Israel, you have a problem because there are other mitzvahs to Lulu Sparitz that are not mentioned here, right? Truma, Peya, Demai, those types of mitzvah sulis baris are not here. So what goes here and what doesn't? So Sforno says, he says, until the egel, the korban offered a pleasing aroma without the mincha and the netzachim. Kenyan behevel uvanoach uvavram. Like by other people that offered korbanos thus far, for instance, hevel, noach, and avram. But they didn't offer. It doesn't say anything there about netzachim and mincha. V'chein v'yishlach esnari b'nei Yisrael. V'yalu alos v'yizachu zachim shlamim la'ashem. As we have in that pasuk as well. Fine. Uvachata se'egel hitzrich mincha v'netzachim lo'osatamin. So the Sforno says that when they died, when they sinned by the Chet HaEgel, that's when the idea of Nesachim, the idea of libations, were added to Korban Tzibors, to the Tamid, the daily offering. And now that the Meraglim have sinned, Hitzrich Mincha Nesachim Lahashir Gam Korban Yachid. Now they require the Mincha Nesachim even by a Korban Yachid. Now why? What's the correlation? So he doesn't tell you. He doesn't tell you what the correlation is. But apparently it says this further that there's a correlation between these libations and the offering that's being offered and a sin that is taking place. But then it's much more obvious why it's here, right? This is here as a explicit reaction to the sin of the Meraglim, which we read about earlier. Okay, fine. So all of that, so the first 15 psukim or so all have to do with the... with the various nesachim and the proportions that are given, different animals will get different amounts. And now we move to pasuk Yud Zayin, verse 17. So now we have the next mitzvah. Daber al bnei Yisrael yomar te'alehim b'vochem el ha'aretz sh'ani b'vi'eschem shama v'yabachalcha milechem ha'aretz. You're going to eat from the bread of the land. You're going to have to take a trumah off that land. That is hereby the mitzvah that we know as challah. Now the Torah's translation of the mitzvah we call the mitzvah truma, or truma ariso sechem, or something like that. But we refer to this as the mitzvah of challah. So why is that? So this also we would say, well, because this is going to be applicable when they get into the land of Israel. Right, as the Ramban explains, v'yishlim o toras kohanim v'tziva al chala shelo nena b'mimbar. Why? Now, what about truma? So, ki truma v'maiser b'yadua shelo yinagu sham. When it came to truma and maiser, it was known that it's not going to be the practice there. Why? Ki he meruach ha-gay u'v'chutz la'aretz. Because they were already being winnowed by the goyim when they were in the land of, and they were outside the land of Israel. I don't know what the Ramban is talking about. I don't know what he means. I meant to look it up in the art scroll Ramban when he got it. If it had anything to say, I really don't know what the Ramban is driving at, but there's some idea that the Truma, either they knew about it or they didn't know about it, or they knew already. It seems like what he's saying is they knew already that Truma and Meiser would not be relevant until they got into the land of Israel. Challah perhaps maybe it would be different. Now Challah is a little bit different to understand how it could possibly be different, because what were they eating? Mud, right? So how exactly is the mitzvah of challah going through? I don't know what to make about it. But anyways, that's what the Ramban says. V'ish od shinoi b'challah is another different distinction by challah, because she nischaivu b'challah k'shenichnas hula'aretz miyad v'lo nischaivu ma'isus u'chuma el achay yushav yashva. So the Ramban says that challah was obligatory immediately when they got into the land of Israel, but chuma ma'isur was only obligatory once they settled the land. So the challah is perhaps giving that, this mitzvah is Ramban is explaining, maybe this mitzvah is relevant here, because as soon as you get into the land of Israel, this mitzvah is going to be applicable, as opposed to Trumas Umaisus, which is not going to be applicable for another couple of decades, even after they entered in. Now the Sforno is going on a different understanding, right? The Ramban, Rashi, they seem to be going along the understanding of all of these is some form of consolation to the Jewish people. Don't worry, you're going to get into the land of Israel. The Sforno is, no, they're all reactions to the Meraglim. So how does the Sforno understand the mitzvah of Challah? He says, Asher, Achar Chet Meraglim, you need the mitzvah of challah after sin raglim. Why? L'man you ru'uyim shetachal bracha b'vaseichem, so that they will be fit to have bracha reside in the house. They need the bracha back for their homes. The sin of the raglim took the brachas away, and challah brings bracha to the home. Why specifically challah? Not sure. But he quotes that, and we see that in a pasuk in Yechezkel. It says, "V'rishisari sosichem titnu lekohen v'niach bracha al beisecha." That at the beginning of your doze, you will give over to the kohanim. Doze, D-O-U-G-H, right? You'll give over to the kohen, and you will then have bracha in your house. And so too by Eliyahu Anavi as well. It says in Malachim Aleph, "Haseli misham u katan brishnovi seisili ki ko amar Hashem kamach lo tichla." That you give me a little bit eat. So Hashem says, you're not going to run out of cake, meaning there's going to be some kind of bracha that goes to you as well. So that's, as Farno says, so you need to have the Nesachim, because that's a reaction to the national sin, was this addition of Nesachim. And you need the mitzvah of challah, because the bracha has left your house, and you need the mitzvah of challah in order to bring back the bracha to your house. Okay? Next mitzvah. We go to Pasuk Chav Beis. And there's a very cryptic couple of psukim here having to do with people that made a mistake and they didn't do the mitzvahs of Hashem. So Rashi already gives you, reveals what in the world this is talking about. It's not just doing any mitzvahs of Hashem. We know about Korban Chatas already because we came to Shir last year when we learned Sefer Vayikra. So what is this specifically talking about? This is specifically talking about violation of Avodah Zarah B'Shogeg. Now, I was thinking about this. Maybe this is a topic for Halacha Day. It's not so easy to do, right? Violate Avodah Zarah B'Shogeg, right? Not realizing that you're violating Avodah Zarah. It's a little hard to, at least to me, it's a little hard to think of, conjure up what exactly the case is where a person would be violating Avodah Zarah B'Shogeg. But anyways, that is the suggestion. Now, I did come across here an interesting... First of all, why? Why is it talking about Avodah Zarah? So Rashi already explained, because it talks about violating any of the mitzvahs for Shogeg. What is the one mitzvah that is the equivalent of all the other mitzvahs? Avodah Zarah. So therefore it must be talking about Avodah Zarah. Now why specifically does the Torah make this somewhat cryptic? I was wondering about that. I was curious about it. I'm not sure if there's a pshat about that, but that is the idea, and the Sforno builds up on this. Right? The idea, those that learn Daf Yomi in the beginning of Maseches Chulin, it talks about this idea that that if you violate Avodah Zarah, you are considered a heretic against the entire Torah. And that's what this is getting at here.
This is unwittingly.
Yes. This is talking about a korban that you would bring if you violate it b'shogeg, right?
The Rambam says that if you didn't have to talk.
The Rambam says, oh, I found a little secret here. This is interesting. I have here, because I want to show you something else in a second, the Art Scroll Mikros Gedolos, which came out. Right?
What is it?
The Art Scroll came out with a Mikros Gedolos a couple of years ago, right? This is what I use, the Mikros Gedolos here, that has the Rishonim in it. Without an English translation. They did a classic Mikros Gedolos. They try going to the manuscripts and stuff. But in the back here are all the pictures that appear in the newer stone Chumash. It wasn't just for a reprinting. It is smaller, right? Unless you get a bigger edition, in which case it would be bigger.
Avodah Zarah, it could be people. Idol worship are two strange things that you might not think of as idol worship. I mean, so you could do something that is idol worship and not realize it.
Right. Yeah, maybe that's what it is. Maybe that's what it's referring to. You don't realize that it's idol worship. I would actually add here, at the end of this section, there's a Ramban, which the Pasuk specifically includes Gerim here. So why does it have to specifically include Gerim? They're obviously prohibited from doing Avodah Zarah, says the Ramban. If you have converts, or you're like converts, or you're, right, you might want to, earmuffs, maybe, says the Ramban, Ki ha-Gerim b'chit hazem mukshalim tamid u'machshilim es Yisrael. Because Gerim, in this, regards to this sin, often falter and cause faltering amongst the Jews. Yeah. So.
Which assumes Gerim used to worship Avodah Zarah.
Well, it also might assume what Sam was saying, that they don't even realize that they're serving Avodah Zarah, especially when it's so rampant. I mean, you even see it today. Depending on how one perceives Christianity and various aspects of it, you could somewhat easily. Ari Leibowitz talks about this issue in. Apparently, he's one of his talmidim from Jamaica States. Jamaica States is near where I grew up. It's like the next neighborhood over.
It's in Queens.
In Queens, yeah. It's actually where Donald Trump grew up. Right? I think his boyhood house is there in Jamaica. I think it's still there. What?
They have tours?
Not yet.
They have armed guards, probably.
It could be. So apparently some wealthy non-Jew there like makes a party every December where he invites all the kids, and you have Santa comes, and they have all the moon bounces and music and all this kind of stuff, and he serves all this type of food. So all the neighborhood kids come, including many neighborhood Jews. So the question was, the guy asked, all these Jews are coming, they're all welcome to come, happy to have them, should I bring kosher food? So that was the question. Should you help the guy bring kosher food for the Christmas party that he was throwing in his backyard.
All the Yidden who have Xmas trees in there.
No, I understand. But beyond that, we're talking. This is an Orthodox neighborhood. This isn't like this is talking about modern Orthodox kids. That's otherwise Orthodox kids.
And they show up.
Yeah, they show up. Well, what's wrong? What's the big deal? Kids are having fun. So question A is that appropriate or not? So probably it's not appropriate. But because it's happening anyways, should you maybe direct the guy, instead of calling Domino's, to call Benji's, right? In order to deliver in order to have pizza there. So that was listen to Shira on that recently. But anyways, you can see in America today, just now that we're coming out of December, how one would be perhaps potentially in violation of certain avodah zarah or shoging. Okay, but anyways,
had Domino's in the meatball.
What?
Had Domino's.
Yeah, but they were put out of business by the month.
Of course.
They wanted to raise a Hasagas Gvul issue, but the Vatakatris wouldn't hear it, so that was it. But there is a Sforno here for some reason, and I'm not sure why, but my Sforno, there's part of the Sforno is left out. The Sforno says, V'chitzi Saga, you make the mistake, says the Sforno, Kfar Hispar B'Kabbalah Shebishkeges Avodah Zarah Kasum Adaber. Right, we already figured out by our Mesorah, our tradition, that we're talking about making mistakes with regards to Avodah Zarah. So in the other editions of the Sforno, I have a different edition at home, and then there's a different edition here. They add in, and this is sort of what makes it fit in with the other Sfornos. Where is it? There it is. Kfar Yispar B'Kabbalah, right? Shemishkagas Avodah Zarah Kasam Adarah. What Kabbalah, by the way? Our Mesorah quotes the Gemara in Horios. V'zeh, he adds in, K'mei Achar Shenigzar Aleihem L'Hapil Zaram B'Gayim. This is because of the Gezerah that your descendants will be sprinkled amongst the non-Jews. Lo hayad nimne sheyishku avodah zarah b'shuv liartzam. So therefore, they will not be able to hold back from violating the avodah zarah as they return to the land. So that's what the Sforno adds in. Now, I'm not sure why a certain text would lose it, but anyways, maybe there are censors that took this out. Anytime it talks about avodah zarah amongst non-Jews, so it's always a little bit of a sensitive issue with regards to censorship. So maybe that's why it's taken out. But anyways, that is the specific concern. I mean, we're talking about gulls, we're talking about being spread around, and a result of a meraglim-like sin will be that you'll be spread around and you will have violations of avodah zarah. Now, furthermore, when you come back, you're going to have more violations of avodah zarah. Now, it's interesting because this is talking about the korban. This is talking about the remedy. So the remedy is not available to those in Chutz Laaretz. It's only available once they come back into the land of Israel. But that is how the Sforno fits that in. It says, oh yeah, that's why this is an appropriate thing to put in this parak. The Ramban, however, says, no, I'll tell you why this is here. He says, V'nichna sakan, at the end of this commentary, he says, V'nichna sakan ba'avur shehim maru davar Hashem ve'amru nisna rosh v'neshuva mitzrayma. Right? The reason why this is here is because the people had, their complaint was, this is crazy, let's go back to Egypt. Be in Mitzrayim, like we were in the beginning. And what were they like in Mitzrayim in the beginning? Right? If you're going to rewind, not only are they going to lose their place in the Midbar and go back to Egypt, but what else are they going to lose if they completely rewind? Right? What important event had taken place between leaving Egypt and where they are now? The Torah, right? So they're rewinding that also. So that's what it means. I mean their hope, suggests the Ramban, was not just to go back to Egypt and be able to live in their houses again, but it was to actually go back to before there was a what?
Before Matan Torah.
Before Matan Torah, yeah. So, before Matan Torah. So, that was part of their argument, suggests the Ramban, was to totally get rid of everything. In which case, not just go into Israel, but also get rid of the Torah. So he says, Vineya Parsha Lahudiyam. So this Parsha is coming to tell them, Ki afilu bi'avodah zarah yichaper al hashogegim yishogegim. That even when it comes to avodah zarah, you have the ability to gain a kapara for those people that did it b'shogeg by accident. Amal usa bi'ad ramah, but if you did it on purpose, so then we'll get rid of you. Afar pi rashi akari says, that was explained in Parsha Zachary. primos. So this is kind of telling you that even from the sin of Avodah Zarah, you have a way of coming back, but perhaps Avodah Zarah b'mezid, maybe not. The Hashem at least will desire to, or at least will voice a desire to destroy. Okay. as we continue on here, oh my gosh, we're sort of completely out of time. This Furno comments is one by the Migadev that they would require that type of tshuva. And then let's just get the important Ramban at the end of Shema here, because we talk about the Parsha of Tzitzis that appears at the end. Why do we have the Parsha of Tzitzis? So, first of all, why is it, this Furno doesn't go there, but the Ramban, Rashi said, the reason why Tzitzis here is because the Minyan V'Gematria of Tzitzis is 600, right? V'Shmona Chutin, and you have the 8 strings, and you have the 5 knots, and that gets you to 613. So says the Ramban, he says, that's a very interesting Rashi, it's quite a trick he pulled, but I have a question. Take a look at the word tzitzis as it's spelled out in Pasuk Lamaches. 38. What?
Yeah, there's a little thing on top, the three dots.
What do you mean, three dots? What are you talking about, three dots?
On the sim, the end.
What? The word tzitzis, how's it spelled?
Tzadik yud tzadik tuf.
Oh, yeah. What's the gematria of tzadik yud tzadik tuf?
It's less 10.
590. Right. So that's the Ramban's first question. It's nice, is that you spelled it wrong, right? At least you spelled it not according to the way it's written here. V'od, another question is Shachutin Ladas Beisilla in a Melashah. He says also Beisilla holds that you don't have 4 strings; you only use 3 strings, right? And the Ksharim are only Minat Torah. It's very nice that we have 5 knots, but that's all Durabana. That's all Minat Doraisa. What do you need? 2 or 1 or 2, right? So the whole thing begins to unravel. Yes, thank you.
6 strings.
What?
Beisilla's only 6 strings.
The Beisilla holds 3 strings, which would then double to 6.
No, what we do
is, no, we hold like Neshama. I think it's one of the cases. Yeah. So that's the Ramban's question. So rather, Ramban brings a different idea. He says, "About hazikron hu b'chut hatchelus." Rather, what is the zeicha? What are we trying to get at with regards to the tzitzis? Is the tchelus string? Shirome is lamda hakol as hakol shehi b'chol he tchelus hakol, because that word was that seems to include everything. V'lachin, therefore, it says uschartim es hakol she mitzvos Hashem v'zeu she'amrif neitcha tchelus dom liyam v'yam dom lirakia v'rakia dom likisi hakav. The idea is that tchelus looks like the ocean. The ocean looks like the sky, and the sky looks like the Kisei HaKav. So therefore, by looking at this, you'll remember Hashem that way. Now, if I was Rashi, I would ask on the Ramban and say, that's a very nice pshat, Ramban, but Doraisa, Tchelus isn't necessary. Tchelus isn't ma'akev. It's a mitzvah, but it's not ma'akev to wearing tzitzis, right? We don't... maybe we do, maybe we don't, whatever. But for many centuries, Jews were wearing tzitzis without tchelis under the assumption that we were following the Mishnah Maseches Menachos that holds that the tchelis is not ma'akiv. So there's a question on both of them. According to Rashi, there's problems in terms of just technical, how are you getting to the number 613? According to the Ramban, you have problems of that's good if you have tchelis. If you don't have tchelis, so then your comparison falls apart. And besides that, like, what exactly is that recommendation? I mean, I could also look at, you know, pants and say, oh, pants remind me of Hashem because, you know, pants will get me, I get to go outside. When I go outside, I look in the sky, and then I won't go outside without my pants. Right? Then I'll look at the sky. I'll remember Hashem, right? So what exactly is that comparison of, well, you'll see this, and you'll see that, you'll remember that, and then you'll remember that, and you'll remember Hashem. So how does that work? That's also something to consider. And alright, we'll pick up with some more things in the days to come. I'm not sure when I'm coming tomorrow and or Friday. I'm not sure what the story is yet, but I'll surprise you when I show up or not.